What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast number 186, Lessons from Four Engaging Summer Conference. This week, we are talking about me. That's it. I'm the show. So I'm a little nervous because normally I'm talking to somebody and just asking them questions, and then this time I've got to kind of fill the space all by myself. We have a new group of students, so everything is new, so I wanted to give them a chance to warm up to where it was somebody they were comfortable with. So hopefully you're comfortable enough with me to be able to ask questions, or if we mess up, then it's just me and we could re-record at any point. We do have at least two people right now joined in watching live for the CEU part, so I'm going to give a shout out to Mickey Brown there in Tennessee and Israel Montoya down there in Corpus Christi. I think it's La Jolla Corpus, or I don't know, something like that. But he's down there in Corpus Christi working with the Valley Athletic Trainers Association. So give a shout out to them listening live. Real quick, I want to give, you can, if you're watching live, you can see this beautiful new banner behind me. There we go. From School Health or Sports Health. They're the ones that are providing gift cards if you're listening live. So esportshealth.com/SMB. Again, esportshealth.com/SMB. You enter your information there, and each month you can win a $50 gift card from Sports Health. So, Bubba, you can too. You're talking about wanting a new kit. So, there you go. Some stuff to stock it with. So, anybody can, right? Anybody that's listening to the podcast, make sure you check that out. We just announced yesterday Rachel Blakeman was the winner for August. So we'll be announcing the September one coming up soon and then sending that stuff out. So it's pretty cool. I'm excited. Hopefully we'll get more people entering and being a part of the show. So I think I already did that there. All right. So I am, of course, Jeremy Jackson, the host and the guest and the show today. Sitting right beside me, we've got
Jerenisha,
Joshua,
Jasmine,
Yvette,
Bubba,
Ariana,
Cooper,
Tiana.
All right, Ariana, I think your mic is down. Let's see. Talking to your mic, say hello again.
Hello.
I think that's a little better. All right. Then we also have lots of other kids. Last year, I had 8 students in my sports medicine one class. This year, I've got 16. So I had to kind of come up with twice the number of jobs or split up some of the jobs. So we're going to see how this works out. So we got Melissa over there. She's going to be kind of helping out with show notes and on Skype. And so if we got anybody calling in on Skype, she should know how to answer that there. I've got Diana in the other room. She's listening to make sure it sounds good. I've got Nick over here switching cameras, and Misty is taking some pictures, right, Misty? You gotta be up, standing up to take pictures, walking around. And I do need a panoramic picture so I can change the cover photo of the website. So you gotta figure out how to do a panoramic picture. Nelly's over there on Twitter. Juanita is also on Twitter. Daniela is taking notes. Mariana and Jasmine are also taking notes. And then I think everybody's here today. So we got 16 people, lots of new jobs. If you want to join the conversation, check out sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, and then you can register, you can sign in, like these other two guys here have already today, and then you can use hashtag BSMB on Twitter if you're not logged in. I know my beautiful wife, Sarah, always tries to listen, and so one of the ways that she'll comment, she can text me, or she'll make a comment on Twitter, which, so Juanita, you got to be watching. All right, so if my wife comments or says, hey, you got to speak into the microphone or you got a booger in your nose, you got to tell me that, all right? Okay, sound good? All right, so without much further ado, again, the topics, again, like I said, I just wanted to talk about some of the stuff that I'd learned or kind of reflected on this summer. One of the things yesterday when I was after I announced the winner of the school health gift card from School Health, it was Rachel Blakeman, and so we kind of went back and forth once or twice, and then one of the things that she said was informative, engaging podcast, keep me listening, thanks for doing it. So like I've talked before, just we do all this work and all this work and all this work, and this here is episode number 186. So a lot of podcasters quit after episode 7 because they're not getting any engagement or listeners or things like that. So this is number 186, so we've been doing this a long time, and it's really good to hear positive feedback. Somebody saying, you know, thank you, you're doing a great job, keep it up. And, you know, obviously we got Bubba involved here. We got people listening to the live stream, other people talking about it. So it's really cool for me to hear that positive feedback. But on that same note, you guys, my students, any of you listen to podcasts? No at all? No?
No.
All right, so this is your first experience with a podcast. So if you find that you like this, I would highly recommend commenting on somebody's podcast saying, hey, thanks for doing this, I enjoy listening. So we had a comment. What does it say?
I have to say it on the record.
Sure.
I don't know who said it. Oh, no. Israel said it.
Okay.
Thanks for the shout out.
All right. There you go. No problem. Thanks for the help you're doing there. All right. So like I said, we are first time for the school year. And so we're still working out some of the ways we're going to be doing this. So cool. Thanks for interacting there, Israel, and giving Jasmine a chance to test her microphone skills. So Pasadena Health Center, they have been really involved with what we're doing with the mass CPR training. So Bubba's been involved there, and Memorial Hermann's helping out. But one of the things that they're also doing, you know, they like buy our lunch when we have our athletic trainers meeting, and they've just really been trying to help out and be involved. And that was just because they sent out a flyer and said, "Hey, we'd like to meet with you." So I took the time, I went over there and I met with them. So now, you know, they bought mannequins so I can do my mass CPR training, which we train 700 kids in one day. It's a pretty big undertaking, right, Bubba?
Yes.
So Bubba's always in charge. Is there something going on that I'm missing?
No. Okay. You're good.
All right. So we have the Pasadena Health Center is helping out a lot, and I'm really thankful for the relationship. They get items donated for us. So we got some bags and some koozies and stuff to give away to kids. And I'm pretty excited about doing the mass CPR again this year. And then after next year, it'll be 4 years. It means everybody that has gone through Pasadena High School, more or less, will have been trained in CPR if they went through as a freshman. So pretty cool about that. So this summer we were at SWATA, so I got to Bubba join his son with SWATA, and one of the people that came over and talked to me was ARASTI, which stands for Active Integration for Rapid Recovery of Soft Tissue Injuries. So,
hang on, Jeremy, back up for just a minute. What were the four conferences you went to this summer?
Oh, okay. So did I not talk about that? I was going to get to that. But all right,
I'm interviewing you now. So.
All right, that'll work. That's even better. Then I don't just have to ramble on. All right, so first, I went to Texas Children's conference there in the Woodlands. So it was a one-day workshop. I think it was 8 to 4 or something like that. So one day. It was good. I really enjoyed that, Texas Children's. And then, obviously, the one that I go to every summer now is the Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine Update, which is usually a Monday and Tuesday. As long as I've been going, it's been a Monday and a Tuesday. And of course, that one's great. That's where Bob is super gracious in allowing me to record the sessions and interview the guests. And you know, then I'll talk about this in a little bit, but all the help that I've been getting with you but this year we had even just a whole different random people stepping in and interviewing when I wasn't even in the room. So other people just running that for me. So that was really cool. Then we went to SWATA, which that's number 3, so Sports Medicine Conference here in Houston. And then the fourth one was right before I had to come back to work, was called Podcast Movement. So I went up to Fort Worth, stayed in the Omni there, really nice hotel, Omni Fort Worth. And they have this really cool water feature outside of it. Anyways, that is neither here nor there. But it's called Podcast Movement because it's about podcasting. So I learned a lot of different things that I can do to improve the podcast and things that I'm doing well. And again, one of the things that I learned there, I think the biggest thing that I learned there is they're not, like, people listening are not just an audience. They're, I don't know if you want to say friends, but that's what they kind of should be, is people that you know. So, like, I may, you know, call Mickey and say, "Hey, just how are you doing? You know, just wanted to just give you a call and just say thanks for listening," and this kind of thing. But finding out information about those people, I've already begun doing that and just taking notes of, like Kate Meyer, she listens and she's part of the email list. And, you know, we were talking about how she has 2 kids and, you know, I have a similar situation with kids that age. And so just getting to know and engage the people who are listening rather than trying to reach everybody, just affect the people that you are already reaching. So, but there's obviously a ton of great stuff at Podcast Movement for the podcast. So those are the 4 conferences that I went to.
So let's go the last one first for a second. So podcasting, which is something, I'm old. It's all foreign to me, you know. I just got onto Twitter about a month ago, and don't ask me how to figure out hashtags. But so from a podcasting standpoint, let's talk about the good stuff. What were you doing, or what are you doing right?
Well, that was the cool thing, is I found out that I'm doing a lot of things well. You know, I'm working on improving the quality. I'm engaging, I'm producing quality content. It's not just me sitting here rambling saying, you know, I had a kid that hurt his ankle and, you know, it happens and this and then that. And, you know, I'm not wasting somebody's time.
Right.
So one of the good things is they always say produce quality content. And so by bringing you in, by bringing Dr. Odd in, by bringing all these other people, I'm producing quality content that people want to listen to.
Right.
And I think from, you know, some of the feedback, it's engaging or entertaining as well. It's not just like a
you're not cut and dry on and
presentation. It's right. You know, we're going back and forth. We're asking, you know, somebody cracking a joke and Bubba talking about hashtags and stuff like that. So
you're not Ben Stein and Ferris Bueller's Day Off for those people that know that movie.
So yeah. I'd already actually been engaging the listeners some, like getting to know some about them. Like I'd been emailing some of them back and forth, you know, because they had a question or whatever. So then even right here, Is the camera still on me? I got this little note because one of them, I think it was Jeff Brown, his session, was just saying, ask another question. Just ask another question. Just go deeper.
Right.
And so, you know, I feel like I do that, but I get distracted, especially like today is the first time. So I got to check and make sure everything's going well.
Right. You know, we won't grade you on this one.
Yeah. Well, why not? Go for it. It just helps me grow. And so just asking one more question, just that note right there to remind myself, ask one more question. So, Bubba, why do you feel that way? Or why is it that way? And so that's even what I talked to Tiana and Cooper, who are supposed to be asking questions, is, you know, can you tell me more about that? Because that's an easy question.
Right.
Even if you're not really listening, you can ask that question and they can tell you more.
With that being said, I think it's a lot like asking questions off history of on an examination. You can't just ask the basics. You've got to dive a little deeper sometimes to figure out really what's going on. And I think it probably makes sense in this case, too. Okay, ask the next question, play off of that, build on that. That makes sense,
yeah.
You know, to do those things.
And so I think I was doing that, but again, just a reminder, hey, do this.
You could be more thorough, in essence.
One of the things that I feel like I was somewhat doing, but I need to probably do a better job. If they said vet the guest, so like research the guest. So know, you know, if you've written a book or if you've been...
You don't know me. Yeah.
You know, if you've...
I am published, though, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. So if you've been involved in stuff, then know about that. Know what that is. Or, you know, if you have a very strong stance on something we're talking about, know what it is and then know also why you feel that way or, you know, research the other side of that.
Right.
So that I can ask intelligent questions rather than just, I don't understand what that means. You
right.
know, can you spell
I know nothing
that for
about
me?
It. That's why you're here. Good yeah. luck to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Which for
sometimes
me.
Sometimes it's good.
Yeah. For me, I kind of enjoy playing the, I don't want to say dummy, but like being the least intelligent in that circle because I want to bring in experts.
Right.
And I just ask the questions.
Right.
But being educated on that topic. So it's kind of a, I want to kind of speak to the lowest level listener at the same time as engage the highest level listener.
Right.
So, you know,
we can do that regarding Twitter with me later, but off air, of course. So, yeah. All right. So let's move to the first. What was different about the Texas Children's continuing education event?
All right. So I just feel like one is that I wasn't working. I was just sitting and listening. So that may be one
right.
of the reasons.
You got to be a participant in a different way.
Yeah. So when I would go to the Memorial Hermann on the last 3 years, I've been recording. And
right.
so it's work because you got to make sure everything's working, make sure people are getting over there and this and that. And so, you know, I love it, but it's work and I don't
right.
just sit and listen. And so I think that was probably the biggest reason I enjoyed it so much. Another reason is it was small. And so I know we've talked about this before, is that the Minute Maid one, or the Memorial Hermann rather, I think Bob said there was like 200 people this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets a little intimidating, even though I don't really care what those other people think. It's still with 200 people in there, it's a little intimidating. Like, I don't want to waste everybody's time if I have a question. And so I felt like, you know, I was sitting up front. I felt like it was real easy for me to ask questions because I was as close from me to you
right.
as I was, you know, the speaker. And so that's one of the things I really liked about it. And I felt like the information was presented in a way that was easy for me to understand. And it could have been just that I was listening and taking notes rather than...
You weren't multitasking.
Multitasking.
Right. And I think the one thing to understand, and this goes for the students sitting here or those listening, you're not the only one with that same question that's afraid or intimidated to ask. And I think it's important to ask that question. And I've said it before, and I will say it until I die. I think if the person who presented gets upset that you asked that question, there's something wrong with them. I'm biased. I believe, as my phone's vibrating, I believe that any speaker, it doesn't matter who it is, from me to Dr. Andrews, should answer that question and say, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't understand that, and not say it's in my handout or I just went over it, to go, let's make sure you grasp what I'm trying to say. And I think the good speakers do that. So there's no bad question being asked. There's somebody else has that same question, and that's something I had to learn. Ask the question, you know, and I think a good speaker will answer that question, you know. Now, if it's the same question they've been asked five different ways, that gets a little frustrating, you know. So maybe the audience isn't listening. They're all playing on their phone and tweeting or doing that stuff, and that's a whole nother topic for later. But I think they should go out of their way to a point to answer those questions for you.
Right. And, you know, I mean, obviously, as you're saying that here to the students, I'm thinking there are times where I'm going to tell you, figure it out.
Right.
Because you need to just figure it out. Like, well, what's 1 + 1? Figure it out, right? Because, I mean, sometimes I literally get questions like, what time is practice today? time is practice every day right. after school. After school.
Right.
Or when do I work today? Look at the schedule.
Look at the schedule. What time do we get done? What you usually get done at this time.
That's right.
Yeah.
So those kind of things like, well, I don't know, ask the coach. But right. but there so
but there's a difference when you were saying, okay, you were talking about look at this on this is suspect on this injury. Why is that? Those are totally different.
Right.
But again, you know, I feel free to ask those questions. I think they're important.
Or like Ariana asked, well, what do you do if you're choking and nobody around you knows how to do the abdominal thrust and back blows?
That's
like,
a legitimate question.
That deserves a
legitimate answer.
So right. then, you know, I go on and I finished what I was doing there, but I stopped and I explained it. Obviously, I didn't throw myself over a chair to demonstrate it.
Right.
Which, do you want to demonstrate, Bubba?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. All right. So, again, that's a perfectly good question. So.
All right, so let's move to the sports medicine update. Obviously, I'm biased on that one, but I want to ask a different angle of that. So somebody interviews the speakers once they've finished. How do you find that aspect of the day? Are the speakers good with coming to talk to you? Are they engaging? I know every now and then it may conflict that they've got to be somewhere else because they kind of schedule this and they run long, but how has that worked out?
Last year, I said I probably got 75-80%. This year is probably like 95%, and everyone was like, "All right, yeah, let's do it." Yeah. You know, some of them were obviously people are going to be better on a microphone and speaking than other people.
Right.
So some people were kind of dry, but some people were really good. You know, one that sticks out is Dr. Kusick and Dr. Abbasi. They just both of them were kind of working on the ulnar collateral ligament. They actually, Abbasi was there for the dislocations, field reductions, and he just sat in on there with Kusick. And so then they're playing off each other. Yeah, they're just going off each other. And it's like, well, what do I need to be here for? Just press start and stop, you know?
Right.
And so that was awesome that, you know, just to have that opportunity and just, you know, their personalities worked great. And so I feel that everybody was receptive. Some people were send me the link to this, which that's one going back to podcast movement is I need to do a better job of following up. So that's one thing that I'm trying to look at. I need to get all those emails and send, hey, here's the link to yours. Here's the link to yours.
Right.
So I feel like they were very receptive and very encouraging. And so that, even, you know, next year I'll hopefully have a little bit better plan and I had a problem with the report. I think my microphone wasn't working. So when I go back and listen to some of my episodes, you know, I'll be talking and then, but you can't hear it.
Right.
But then you hear Ryan talking, Ryan Collins. And so, you know, like 10 seconds of silence and then Ryan talking.
Right.
So I'm like, shoot. You know, I have everything working, but
right.
So to answer your question,
technical glitches. So yeah,
I felt very well received.
Okay. So let's move, cause I'm going to go back to a question on all of them again in a second. So let's move to SWATA. SWATA was it's an interesting venue because you're kind of stuck out in the middle of every noise known to man.
Mm-hmm.
I sat in when you had the NATA president on. Just give me a little something about SWATA that you picked up off of that. Not necessarily. We're talking about from a podcast standpoint right now, not an educational standpoint. That's coming up.
From a podcast standpoint, I would say definitely that was the first time I'd done it in a noisy environment like that. And man, whenever we were interviewing Scott Saylor, the NATA president, that was right when every single person was right in that area waiting to go to the sessions.
Right.
Because the convention hall opened or the exhibit hall opened and then the sessions. And so they were just standing there waiting. So it's just super loud. And I didn't trust Jasmine. She was there helping me. So I kept turning up the knob because I couldn't hear. I think it was you and Daniel. So I was turning up the knob, but I think what I was actually doing was turning up the knob for
like the ambient noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it ended up the noise kept getting louder and louder. Instead of just asking her to do it, I was just reaching over there trying to do it.
Right.
Trying to do too much. So if I have help, let them help, even if it's not perfect.
Right. I think one thing that would have been cool there, because the environment lends itself to it, is to almost live broadcast those out like on a PA at the same time. You know, like so you could walk in like almost like a remote from a radio station. You can hear what's going on as you're going through, and you could almost get an audience within an audience, you know.
So you're saying, so we're the way we were set up, you know, we're at the table, and like if I had a speaker set up to play that just out into the area,
yeah,
so people could kind of listen to what we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I got you.
I think that'd be cool. It would drive some more people through. But I think, you know, I know going around, you might go, wait a minute, what are they talking about? And you either come away and listen or walk through and stop and listen. I think that'd be kind of cool. You know, as it's just a remote, you know, it's a remote location. you know, why not?
All right, so who's supposed to be writing down what Bubba's saying?
Nobody. Now somebody is, yeah.
Yeah, so make sure you type that in because I want to remember to do that later. I think that's a good idea. I'll just have to see.
You can borrow my daughter's PA if she's not performing.
I know, right?
Yeah. So. All right, so we talked about going to Fort Worth for your podcast. So let's back up. What was one standout takeaway from the Texas Children's from an educational standpoint from that conference that you picked up?
One standout thing from
that you're driving home going, you know what? I need to look at that more. We're going to incorporate that. One of those things that thought provoking. You're driving home thinking about that. What was it? Look, I put him on the spot.
Yeah, I know. And 2 weeks ago, I was looking, like I was making up the schedule because I think I'm actually talking about, I'm trying to take a few of the kids out there and we're going to interview some of the doctors there about the things we talked about. But I think we were talking about elbow dislocation. It's either elbow or shoulder. We were just talking about dislocations. And you know, again, we talked about it there at Memorial Hermann, so it's kind of like double dipping. But yeah. Now that you've put me on the spot, I can't recall one specific thing and be like, oh, man.
Tisk, tisk. All right, we'll move on.
But I did take notes on there on one of the computers.
All right. So do you have a take home from any of the that you got to listen to at the Sports Medicine Update? Something that you go, that's interesting. Again, and it doesn't have to be my talk, even though it should, but it doesn't have to be.
One of the fun things was when I had Brett Singer and Paula Orchinski Hernandez on there. We were talking about cost-effective meal plans. Mm-hmm. And so for athletes, and so they kind of were going back and forth. I just said, all right, so we're going to go rapid fire. You say one, you say one, you say one. And so they were just going back and forth listing stuff and just
And none of them were bought at a nutritional supplement store.
Yeah, exactly. Probably. And, you know, they were saying rice or banana or fruits or peanut butter and, you know, just going back and forth and making that list. So, because I think here that's a big problem is people are on free introduced lunch and that people are on free introduced lunch. And so it's hard for them to be prepared with food, fruit.
Right.
And so
and realistically, they should not be trying to get that additional nutritional supplementation from a store that is in a mall.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. None of their recommendations at all were supplements. They're like everything you need, you can get from a grocery store. Well, not even the grocery store, but just regular food.
Right. And get it inexpensively.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Swada, what'd you take away from there?
Honestly, the coolest thing to me was that I got to interview the NATA president.
I'll take that.
And so, you know, Daniel was like, hey, Jeremy, let's interview this guy. I was like, all right. Oh, hey, it's the NATA president. So, you know, in the world of athletic training, it's literally the biggest fish.
Right.
Because it's the head of the national organization. Right. And so, you know, I got to interview him. And so now he knows about the podcast. He's been on the podcast. And so I think...
And he was a good interview.
Yeah.
He really was.
Yeah.
I think he was open and honest, and I had my issues with certain things, and he was receptive and understanding of that. But, yeah, I thought he was a good interview.
So just hearing from a couple of different people there, you know, I spent a good time in the exhibit hall just because that's where my equipment was. That's where the interviews were going on.
Right.
But just talking to people. And then meeting some of the people, and really the biggest thing for me at SWATA was I had several different people. I know like Jackie Gonzalez and Ben Bowles, and there was a couple other people that came up to me and said, hey, Jeremy, I just want to say hi. You know, thanks for doing the podcast. So
you got to meet your audience.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah. I was like, oh, see, I'm kind of a...
You're a rock star.
Yeah. You know, these people that I've never met, that I've never actually engaged with, but they listen.
Right.
And so, you know, I got to engage with them. So that was the coolest thing for me is like, oh, whoa, this is real. Pasadena High School. Yeah, this is real. Yeah,
other than my wife, people are listening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right. Give me something else from Fort Worth that you drove back or flew back, however you did it, when you were coming back that you had on your mind a lot before you got back home.
I should probably stop the recording, but I rented a car, went, and it was just happened to be a Super Sport Camaro.
Attaboy.
So driving back, obviously I was trying to get home quickly.
And you were able to do so.
Yeah, so I just, that Super Sport Camaro will get it at no matter what speed you're going. Right?
Yeah.
So we're not going to mention what speed, but it will pick up and take off at whatever speed you're going.
It'll sit you back in your seat when
you
punch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite fun. So I, you know, driving back, one of the big things, again, that I really wanted to do was engage the audience. I was just thinking on the way back, you know, how do I engage them? And so that as soon as I got back, I emailed the first person that I had on my email list and then the next person. And so Ian Wood. He works with the Muskogean hockey team, so it's a club hockey team in Michigan. But I emailed him just saying, hey, I want to find out more about you. Would you send me an email? Yeah, sure. And then what ends up happening is they, instead of just answering yes, no to questions, they're like, yeah, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this.
Right.
And so now I know, you know, that he met his wife in college, is, you know, they don't have kids or, you know, those kind of things. And so for me, it's, that was the biggest thing that I wanted to do. Some of the other things is the next biggest thing was way to build the email list, because that's where I send out the links first to register for the show. So like, we got Mickey and Israel logged and registered, so that's where I send out the links first, and that's where I also send out the links for like the giveaways or those kind of things. And so a way to encourage people to sign up there, and that was the second topic that I went to.
You got to have that distribution list.
Yeah,
right.
You know, like Bob Marley has, I don't know, probably thousands of people on his list.
Right.
That he sends out an email to, and everyone's like, well, get on Bob Marley's list. Get on Bob Marley's list. Well, there's a reason. You know, good information, great source. So I got to kind of work on building that. So
I know my thing when I go to these, the first off is I always take notes. The second thing with that is being, I've got to go back and look at those notes. It doesn't do me any good to write all this good stuff down and never go back and look at it.
Yeah.
And I know that gets hard sometimes because you get home and or you get back to work and something else takes over your time. And so that's one of the things I try to do. But I know, talking about a takeaway item, I went, oh man, it's been 12 years now, I guess. I went to one of the 2 minutes or less conferences that Stephen F. Austin up in university held, and it talks about concussion management and C-spine injury management. And I thought I was going to go up there and be told everything I was doing was wrong. And come to find out, everything I was doing was right. He just gave us a more concise method to do it. And I can remember, and that's why I asked the question, I can remember driving home going, okay, we're doing this already, but I need to make sure we now do this, or let me add this in there. Let me bring this extra tool with me. And so it was, that's part of that process I find almost enjoyable sometimes is running those scenarios through your head when you're going back home. I've never thought about doing this exercise in that fashion. I got to remember to play around with that and try it. And that's what I really enjoy about conferences is you're going to have those nuggets of information that you just kind of slap your forehead and go, why didn't I think of this? You know? And so.
Yeah. And honestly, with this podcast, like today, it's hard because I'm distracted. You know, like right. I said, at the minute, I'm a little distracted because I'm trying to make sure everything's rolling. And so even with the podcast, sometimes I feel like I just interviewed somebody, you know, like last week's, I was thinking about nutrition for the athletes and, you know, what's good for them to eat. And I'm like, I've talked to Brett like 3 or 4 times. I talked to Penny Wilson once or twice. And, you know, I can't tell you the number of, I guess, probably 10 hours worth of nutrition on this podcast, yet I'm still drawing a blank.
Right.
I'm like, take notes, you know, and I do have notes. I just have to go back and look at them.
Play the podcast back and listen to it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely, actually, for the podcast movement, I had a Google Docs open, and I just was typing in, you know, I'd type in the name of the presenter, the session, and then the notes that I took away. The coolest thing about podcast movement was the virtual ticket. Every session was recorded video and audio, so I can go back right now and watch every session.
Right.
So I've already done that with one of them, and I've gone back and, you know, took notes and implemented some of the things that she was talking about there. And so obviously I need to go back and do that, go through each of them. So.
All right. So we won't go individual because I think that's a kind of a waste of the time. What are some educational things that, and it's a two-parter, A, you'd like to learn about in a conference, or B, you would like somebody to come in here and sit down and talk about?
All right, so,
and they're kind of synonymous, but at the same time, they're not, because some of it involves some lab or other things. But
yeah, that's the thing. And I think the Memorial Hermann Conference did great in incorporating the 4 breakout sessions in the middle of each day. But I was interviewing, so I didn't get to go to those. But that's what I want is not someone to say, all right, so you want to do this test or this test, but to say, okay, come up here, or, you know, like what I do with them is like, all right, everybody stand face to face with a partner. Now you're going to evaluate. So kind of like you're back in school.
Right.
That's for me. All right. So now you're standing face to face. All right. Now grab your partner's arm. Now, you know, feel this bone. All right. So now put your hand here and just walk through the basics, because we assume that we know how to do tests, but we probably did just enough to pass the test.
Right. Are we doing it correctly now?
Yeah. Or are we doing it correctly now? You know, have we picked up bad habits, which all of us have?
Right.
And so just going back to the basics, but walking us through the baby steps. And that's what I'd really like to see. And so for here, it's really hard because you know, you'd have to have somebody audio describing, but what I really want in a conference is here, touch this body part, manipulate this body part, test and see if it's solid, you know. And one of the things we have, one of the things I really want to know is, I even asked Dr. Lowe at the Sports Medicine Conference of America a couple years ago, he's got not huge hands, right? Mm-hmm. He's testing these guys with the Texans. How does he get them to relax? How does he test that ACL when, you know, those legs are twice as big as his hands? And so he said, here, sit up here and I'll show you.
Right.
And he didn't just say, yeah, just do this. He said, here, sit up here and I'll show you. And then, so now I do that all the time. But how do I get these high school kids to relax? I'm like, act like you're asleep. Okay. So they straighten their leg. Really? You don't do that when you're asleep.
Right.
You know, so I want to know, what is some of the best ways people have for kids to relax so I can test their knee?
Right. But what you just said goes back to my point earlier of a good speaker will make sure you understand that. He did just that.
Exactly.
Now, it doesn't hurt that he's one of the best surgeons in the world and a great speaker as well. But again, let's make sure you understand that before I leave. That was my point of that. And yeah. He did that.
Yeah. And so that's what I want to see. And so I know Ryan at the Memorial Harmon one, he said, all right, here's some equipment. I'm going to show you how to do it. Let's do it. Let's give it a shot. And, you know, anybody feel free to come up here and we can practice it.
Yeah.
And those kind of things are what I want, because I want to physically do it, not learn about it. Because I went to, you know, the Arasti Clinic because of their free deal from SWADA. And so now I'm like, oh, okay, now I know how to best use the foam roller. Now I know some other stretches because I've done them myself.
You felt it. You're right.
Yeah. And not just, man, I remember seeing a video on this, but no, I've done it and I've felt that it worked, or, you know, I've seen that kind of thing. So
I'm out of questions right now. I'll come up with one.
All right. So I'll go continue kind of on my list, and then Bubba will come up with some questions. So obviously Memorial Hermann, I'm super happy with the relationship we have there, because it really is so much easier to take care of an athlete when you have a single line. Whereas, you know, I tell the parents, look, you can go to any doctor you choose, but this doctor I can call, I can text, I can email, and they'll get back with me right away. Your doctor, I can't even speak with, because they won't speak with me.
Right.
And so if you have a question, you know, it's easy just to create that one single line of, you know, go see Dr. Crumby or Dr. Lee or Dr. Ott, and any of, they all work together, you know, and the physical therapy, I can call Ryan or Mike or whatever and say, hey, what's the deal? And, you know, we can all work together as a sports medicine team. And that's, we never had that here. So you guys set that up. So, you know, just looking back to how awesome that is, I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, the HIPAA conversation on that is a whole podcast in itself, of many healthcare providers not understanding the role the athletic trainer plays in that. But again, this is not the time for that. I know, just real quick, we've talked about this off some other things. I'm a fan of case reports or case studies. And I think we learn a lot. If you take, let's just take SWADA. Let's just say you and I played each other this year in football and we run at each other at SWADA. I think there's an educational benefit to saying, hey, Jeremy, that linebacker y'all had that got hurt when we played, what ultimately happened with them? And I think there's a lot of education that comes out of that to say they had X, Y, and Z injury. The doctor did this. The rehab was this. Their outcome was this. There's a lot of good to come from that, to say, really, they had, you know, it's not my kid, they had that injury, that didn't look like it when I watched the film. And you go, yeah, but what you can't see was this, or we had this setback, or we had these issues. And I think I like the case reports for that, to say, you had this, what happened? And then, similar to this, what did you take away from that? What would you do differently? You know, what did you take away from the Sports Medicine Update, or from Texas Children's, or from SWADA, or from your podcast deal? What did you take away, and what are you going to do different? I think those are good to take a focused incident for 30 minutes or whatever, learn about it, and let's move to another one so it doesn't get stale. But I like that format as well. At least in my mind, that it works well.
All right, so I'm going to give Destiny a chance to ask her a question here. Go ahead, Destiny, what's your question?
Why did you join athletic training?
Why do I?
Yeah.
I love sports. I love the medical aspect. Didn't want to go to medical school. Some days I think I could have. Most days I say no. It's too much education. Too much school for me. It's a good combination of sports and medicine in one. And realistically, that's what it boils down to. And no 2 days are the same. So even if kids frustrate you.
All right, Tiana. Ask your question.
How many years have you been doing this?
Oh, gosh. I'm old. 25, I think. I'd have to count it up, but around 25 years.
So, Bubba, do you have any idea how many times you've been on this show?
No idea.
No idea. Probably half as many as me, probably. It's quite a lot.
Yeah.
So one of the things I'm working on is getting a shirt. Dadgum, Juanita, your fingernails are loud. She's typing. She's doing good. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing. She's typing stuff on Twitter, but she got nails that are like a foot long. So I'm working on a T-shirt that says I was on the sports medicine broadcast. So I'm thinking, after somebody's been on three times, that's what I'm trying to get it to them. So I'm working on it. But
I don't know how many. I never counted it. I enjoy it. I show up and
I always have something to say.
Yeah. Somebody asked me today, so what I'm doing. I said, I'm going over to a podcast, and they said, what's the topic? I said, 9 times out of 10, I don't know. We just wing it. You know? And
so, I always have a plan. It doesn't
you
always...
do. I don't. You send me that, and I'll glance at it and go, okay. Then I don't really commit it to memory. And I know there's one coming up that we've got a focus on. But
yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I'm like, yeah, we'll just go.
Yep. So, all right. So I just wanted to make sure you guys had a chance to practice there. Actually, you guys are about to have to leave at 38 when you get out today?
Yes. Yeah.
So they're about to have to leave. So I'm going to go ahead and turn their mics off and let them close out. So y'all tell Bubba bye, and then say bye to
bye.
Mickey and Israel.
Bye.
Wait, don't set the headphones down until
I turn them off.
All right, Bubba, is your mic still on?
I hope.
Yep, okay. All right, so you guys can set them down, grab your stuff.
Maybe a bad thing that it's still on, I don't know.
No. Jasmine, there's no last comments in there, right? No more comments? All right, so as you guys exit, you need to exit quietly, because we continue the recording, the live broadcast, things like that. So
I'm actually going to switch over to
All right, let me see. Hello, you can hear me, Bubba? Yep.
All right,
be changing locations on the mothership.
Yeah, so I switch over here so that if I need to switch cameras between me or you, or if I need to read what these guys say. So I got Christy Keeler.
Hey.
Logged in there. Christy jumped in. And says we have 6 viewers live, so very cool. Christy used to work at Adobe with Jesse.
She's still in Oklahoma?
No, I believe she's back in Houston. So Christy, you can jump in if you have a chance there. You can jump in the chat and tell us where you are. So, but anyways, we'll continue. Let me find my notes. Oh, one thing I did mention is that trip that I took podcast movement at Fort Worth, it was probably about $1,000. I think about 850 of it was paid from donorschoose.org.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't even have to pay for most of it.
Cool.
So just through the grants, because, you know, the hard work and people supporting what I do. So it was really cool for me to say, you know, these are my people supporting what I do, or other people.
Believing in what you're doing.
Yeah, right. Believing in what I'm doing. So again, just one of the points that I had later down is just ask. And if you get a no, then figure out maybe it's because of you, or maybe because it's because of them, because maybe I needed to have more information. Maybe I needed to be more confident in my presentation.
Right.
Or maybe they just weren't interested at the time. You know, that's one of the things that I'm like, hey, Bubba, can we do this? And you're like, well, I can ask.
Right.
Like this banner that's behind you. Well, can we have this banner? I don't know. I can ask. And then show up and the banner's 4 times bigger than I was hoping for. So even better. But, you know.
Yeah, the fun thing is taking it down and putting it up.
First time was really difficult. Hopefully it'll be a lot easier next year. So I'll get the kids to help me. And
well, now that we know how it goes, though, it should be relatively simple. Should be. All right, so I'm going to ask you, just where do you see, what's your goal for the podcast?
All right, so what I'm really looking for right now is on
short term and a long term.
All right, so what I would like to get started short term, but that leads to the long term, is on demand. So right now you can only get the CEUs. All right, so now you can only get the CEUs if, I'm not very good at switching the cameras, if you're listening live. So those people that are logged in live, because it has to track that.
Right.
The length of time that you're logged in. So through different services I've tested out, I've been testing a bunch, and there's one that I found that actually gives me a number, like you've been logged in, you've watched the video for 25 minutes and 26 seconds. And so I'm like, that's perfect. That's exactly what I need, except for it doesn't have an opportunity to print a certificate afterwards. So what I'm really looking for is a way to incorporate easily, you know, allowing people to use this sports medicine broadcast for on-demand CEUs.
Right.
And then obviously it would be awesome if I could have that as like a membership site, to where, you know, that's basically like a fundraiser for my program here.
Right.
And so people say if it was like $100 a year, you can get full access to all the on-demand CEUs. So, you know, if I did that with all 100 episodes or whatever it is that we do from, you know, now until this time next year, then, you know, that's possibly 100 hours for $100. That would be well worth it.
Right.
So that would be like a long-term goal, but something I'm working on immediately. Short-term goal with the podcast is to increase the audience interaction and engagement. So right now we got 2 people logged in, and because I'm using the free service, I can have up to 10 people logged in to watch live to get credit. And so I'd love for there to be a waiting list for that. And so, you know, that's what I'm working on, building up the email list so that those people, like, I even scheduled an email to go out today at like 10 o'clock so that
a reminder that,
yeah, saying, hey, last chance, log in. And so that those people are like, oh yeah, yeah, let me try and log into that today. So short-term goal one would be to get things moving in the long-term direction. But my number one goal for all of this is to make my practice better, because I really can't tell you how much I've grown in the last 2 years of doing the podcast regularly, with a focus on the podcast being focused on athletic trainer content, rather than when it first started, it was bringing in a medical professional to talk to my student.
Right.
So the amount of growth in the last 2 years, because it's personal to me,
yeah,
has been so much better than, you know, going to conferences all those years when it didn't really, you know, I just showed up, did the minimum, and went home for those conferences. Well, now I'm engaged. I'm like, all right, so let me see if I can take down notes, ask questions, maybe get this person on the podcast so I can ask them more questions.
Right.
So I can share this with my, you know, friends that are my listeners.
Right. And I understand that completely. I know from my standpoint, I found I enjoyed giving presentations. And I think one of the things I really like about it, if it's a talk that I have to do from scratch, that's not one I've already done where I've already done the work, I'm learning while I'm putting it together to present to somebody else. Because I'll look up something and go, God, I forgot all about that. Or, oh, that makes sense. I didn't put two and two together at the time or whatever. And so I always learn something when I'm preparing a talk. And then, you know, from that educational standpoint, and then you always learn something in the talk. Those slides should have been switched, or, you know, those things. I needed to do this, that, and the other. You know, but those are minimal things. But I think you always, by doing this, you are learning without realizing sometimes you are learning. You know, I mean, you got a little more irons in the fire to be the presenter and play with the cameras and do all that. But by getting prepped for this, it's a good educational experience.
And this one is a lot of reflection. So thinking about the things that I did learn over the summer, I wish I would have just wrote down specific things that I had learned, but I didn't. Then I would have been prepared for your question, but I have them somewhere.
That's all right. It makes it more fun this way. Free flow. Yep. My goal for the podcast is I just want to get some of these cords to look like I know where they're going. I can't figure out where anything's going, but you know it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess. This was actually the first year I didn't take it all down. Normally at the end of the school year, I'll take it all down, put it all in this cabinet, and set it all back up at the beginning of the year. But I was like, well, I got a setup that I like. I don't need to take it all down. So I did take about half of it down to take it to the conferences. So
right, but you've only got about 10 monitors and a bunch of laptops and other things. So I'd try to leave as much as possible too.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, man, some of them, it took me forever to get the connection correct. So I don't want to mess up and then have to start over and hooking up the connections.
No, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Yeah.
So I know Doc's logged in now. So I know we were talking about the sports medicine update, and one of the things I definitely wanted to do was thank just some of the people that helped out this summer, and Bill, appreciate all the help you did recording all the sessions, and you stayed there the whole time recording the sessions in the booth and trying to check and make sure they were as good as possible. Again, there was a technical difficulty that was my fault. I should have tested it out, but it just wasn't catching the record. It was catching the recording off the webcam rather than off of the microphone.
Right.
So some of the audio is pretty echoey or, you know, distant. But he stayed there and helped out the whole time doing that. Of course, Jasmine was doing the recording on day 2 of the interviews, which, just like in here, when the students are in here pressing the record button or dealing with the cameras or checking the screen to see if people are commenting, it's a lot easier for me to just sit and have a conversation.
Right.
So it just makes it so much better. And then, like I talked about, like Daniel Young was able to just jump in there and interview people because Jasmine knew how to run the system. So all he had to do was ask questions.
Right.
And so he was interviewing people for me, and I'm not even in there. Or, you know, Robbie McFarlane kind of did the same, jump in there and just talk to people, interview people. And so Jasmine helps out a lot. And let me see who else I have on this list. Of course, this isn't an exhaustive list, but John Harmon jumped in at SWATA. We interviewed a couple of different people. Robbie already talked about him there at Frio Hydration, all the stuff he's doing. Dr. Yellen and Knobloch, and then the U of H Masters of Athletic Training students. Right. you know, I'm pretty excited about seeing them as products in athletic training because I think they're doing a phenomenal job there at U of H. I feel like those kids might know more about athletic training than I do, at least as far as books. I mean, they're going to gain the practical knowledge that I have, but they're going to do a great job. So definitely look for a U of H MAT grad from Josh Allen or Mark Knobloch. Right.
I like, you know, you're thinking people asking the question. I like those interviews after the presentation because I've sat in on a bunch. I've asked the questions, and I like that it's organic. It's just, hey, you said this, expand on that, which leads to this question down the road, which all of a sudden we're off on some tangent, which is fine. I think that's what it's all about because we're going to go somewhere that was never planned. And like Dr. Persarn was brought up ahead of the game that the C-spine guidelines were going to change. You know, we're like, what? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that got us off on that for a while. And I really like that aspect of it. Let's go talk about it. But, you know, talk about what you just, expand on what you just spoke about, you know, whoever it is, and which always leads you in a direction you never thought was going to happen. And I think that's neat.
Yeah, and exactly one of the next people I was going to say thanks is Jeff Arsenault, because him and the other athletic trainer, I couldn't even remember his name when he was in the interview, they were asking Dr. Kusick, I believe. Was it Dr. Kusick? No, it was Dr. Crumby in the morning interview. They were talking to him about something, and I was like, hey guys, why don't y'all come with me? We'll have this conversation over there.
Right. I remember
So instead of just me waiting for 20 minutes for them to finish asking him questions, he was explaining it. I was like, hey, wait, let's just go over there and record this because you guys are already asking questions about his topic. Let's just go. And so then they jumped in and helped out. And it was great because I didn't have to come up with the questions. I'm including more people. But like you just said, it's organic, real questions from real people about a real presentation. So it's not just, you know, an interview that I haven't been paying attention, but this is, hey, I'm listening to what you're saying. Tell me more.
Right.
So that was one of the coolest things that happened at the Minute Maid conference for me with the podcast. It's just that other people were like, I'll help. I'll get involved. I'll do it. So just like you said, people wanting to ask more questions. So I did that 2 or 3 more times throughout the course of the conference, and it was awesome.
Yeah. I know, like I said, I'm biased about our sports medicine update because I'm an employee, but out of all that we've had, I've missed 2 or 3 total. I blame my wife for that vacation. But anyway, one of the things one of the things we try to do every year is we take audience recommendations and try to incorporate those into the next year's topics. And one of the things, it's funny, but one of the things that people will say is, one year they'll say, too many talks about how surgery is done. That doesn't pertain to me. Well, I'll argue that it does. And then we'll limit those, and then we'll get back. We need more topics about surgery.
Right.
You know, and my argument all the time is if you don't understand what they do in the operating room to fix that labral tear, how can you explain it to your athlete? And so not only do you need to sit in on those talks, I think you need to, if possible, go watch surgeries.
That's what made a big difference for me, because I was that person probably saying, I don't care about the way the surgery is done. Then I go, hey, Dr. Crumby, can I see you fix my kid's clavicle? Yeah. Oh, holy cow. This opens up a complete different world to me. And then we talk about it. You said, you know, you need to know the surgical anatomy, the physical anatomy, and then the
textbook, the clinical, and the surgical. They all come together.
Yeah. And so just seeing the difference there, it's huge, because it's like, oh, it opens up a whole nother world of understanding.
Right. And then when that athlete says, why can't I do X, Y, and Z? You go, because when they did this, this has to occur for healing or whatever. You can now answer those questions. Plus, from another standpoint, you were in that room, that athlete knows you care about them. They understand what was done, they can ask you that question, because they're going to have 200 times more questions for you than they ever have for the doctor, but they're going to be some of the same questions.
Mm. On that note, I tell the kids, did you ask him that question? No.
Yeah. Why not? It's your knee.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
Like, if you don't understand it, like, don't leave the room until you understand what he's saying.
They hear it's this, and they need this, and they shut down.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll write a piece of paper for this. I mean, I understand doctors have to kind of keep moving, but I'm paying the bill. You're going to answer my questions, or I'm not paying the bill.
And the good doctor, again, will answer that question. Make sure. Any questions? No. If you say no to them, then they think you understand.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I would too. If I ask you, Jeremy, got any more questions? No. All right. Then we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
You know, tell me we're not, and we'll make sure we're good.
And so one of the things that I've done, I've started to do is, all right, so explain it to me. Because then they're like,
oh, no.
Ice? Yes, that was one of the 4 things I told you to do. Put some ice on it tonight and do this and this and this and this. Oh, okay. So explain it to me. And then they get it back.
But, right.
Yeah. So is this picking me up? Are you able to hear?
I got you now.
Yeah, if I'm closer, I've been back away. So one of the things that happened over the summer was There's a group on Facebook, which I'm not on Facebook very much, but now I'm on there more often. The Secondary Schools Athletic Trainer Group. Are you, or were you ever a part of that?
No, but I can figure out a way to join that. I have to get my daughter to show me out.
I think if you just search on Facebook.
Search them and
Facebook,
then like them.
Yeah, or something. You have to request to join and somebody accepts you. But anyways, Joe Sabatini. Let me switch my camera over here to me. So, all right. There we go. So Joe Sabatini said, hey, dude, you need to get over there on that in that group because they're talking about the sports medicine broadcast. And so I didn't even know about the group. So I joined the group, and it's a little bit better than Twitter. I love Twitter, but Twitter is not nearly as focused. It's right. Where that group is secondary school athletic trainers, and they a lot of times, hey, I had this injury. What would you do? Or I had this injury. Please confirm, you know, or
right.
And so that group is pretty awesome. But then also it was really cool that Joe, people were already talking about what we're doing here on the Sports Medicine Broadcast over there. And then Joe thought, hey, Jeremy needs to know about this so he can explain it. So I was able to join and then jump in and kind of inform people about that. So that was really cool. So definitely want to give a shout out to Joe there for mentioning or for encouraging me to get over there. But I think it was Matt Babasek, who is my guest next week, was the one that was saying, you know, check out the Sports Medicine Broadcast. So it was pretty cool that other people are talking about it besides when I ask them to.
You know, just bring that up. I think I don't know if it was on a Sports Medicine Broadcast or just in our general talks, we've talked about having a mentor or mentors. I think one of the positive things about social media is you can get a bunch of mentors like that secondary school athletic training group of people to bounce ideas off of and you know, and ask those questions to in a good environment. That's one of the things I like about that. I think sometimes, like anything, you got to watch. Go well. What about this? Well, there's no absolutes on that injury, on how to treat it, or you know, I know somebody right now that's got an athlete with a grade 3 AC separation, AC sprain, and they're like, well, I did some research, and the argument is to operate or not operate. I mean, the argument will be there forever, you know. And so you're never going to all agree, but I think the benefits outweigh the other issues with that on stuff like that.
Yeah, and you know, with all that stuff, you have to take it with a grain of salt because,
right,
like you just said, you're going to either agree or disagree, and some of those people that vocally agree are going to say something that stirs up the people who vocally disagree, and
sure,
you're stupid for doing that. Well, why am I, you know, this and that. And so, you know, but it's a good, you kind of get a consensus, you get to kind of freely speak with a group of like-minded people,
right,
who can encourage
and,
you.
And hopefully you get a pearl that you can take away from that. You know, and I've said in districts with two or more schools in it, the battles you fight here at Pasadena High School are different than the battles that Jesse and Ruth fight at Dobie. And so you can't cookie cutter both places or all five schools in this district.
Right.
Your battles are different. Your athletes are different. Your student trainers are different. Your coaches and administration are different. Your parents are different. All that's got to be taken into consideration. So what you and Bill decide is good for y'all here is not necessarily what's going to work at Dobie or Memorial or South Houston or Sam Rayburn.
Right.
Or at Deer Park or anywhere else. And I think that's understanding that this is my situation. This isn't your situation. I can tell you how I would do X, Y, and Z or did these things, but it may not work for you. You know, or you can say, hey, I did this. I tried them. Nope, doesn't work here, but I'm going to take part of this mm-hmm. that was really good, and we're going to morph it with this and create our own. And that's always good, too.
Yep. So I've enjoyed reading the posts on there because, you know, like you said there, last year, at the very end of the school year, we had a party for our student athletic trainers, which we have the scavenger hunt coming up next Wednesday, October 7th. So that should be a lot of fun. And I'm actually inviting schools, any athletic trainer I could think of. I posted it in that group. So October 7th, oh, camera's still on, Bubba. Let me switch it. So October 7th, we're having our scavenger hunt. So if you have a group of student athletic trainers, let me know and I can send you that stuff there. It'll be pretty fun. Where was I going with that? Oh, so we were having a party in here and my kids were being loud because we were playing the game Bean Boozled. Have you ever seen that?
No.
So it's Jelly Bellies, but some of them, there's black ones. They're either licorice or they're stinky skunk. So it's kind of like roulette.
Right.
And so, you know, or some of them are like moldy cheese or popcorn. Well, you know, of course they're going to like, they're peer pressuring each other into trying them and they're, you know, going, oh, that's disgusting. Right. And so football is over here watching film from the spring game with freshman kids while we're having our party. Well, I never said, hey, coach, we're going to be over here doing this in our side of the room this day. And so we were being loud. So one of the coaches, y'all need to shut the hell up over there. And I said, no. And then coach, what would you say? I said, no, coach, if you ask me, I will probably keep them quiet. But don't you come over here yelling at my kids. They're doing what I told them.
Right.
And so again, it's about communicating and listening. And so, you know, instead of me like going back and forth, I was like, coach, look, if you would have just asked, I would have been sure, coach. That's fine. And so, you know, starting off this year, there was something going on. I was like, hey, coach, look, this is just me trying to communicate with you because I'm not very good at it.
Right.
But I'm normally, this is what I'm going to do, and I just do it. And I don't really tell people because it's what I'm going to do, so I don't need to tell you about it. You know, I'm not a child.
Right.
I don't have to tell you. But I'm part of a team, so I have to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. Do you see any problems with it? No, it. Or, you know, they come in, yeah, I see a problem with it. Well, here's why I'm doing it this way. All right. You know, so then at least now they know. They're not
right.
reacting at that moment. So it's something I'm not very good at, but it's something that I'm learning.
Right.
It's the fact that I'm 34 years old and 12 years into my profession as athletic trainers. Yeah.
Thank you, coach, for not telling us you had canceled the game today.
Right. Right. So rank one helps us out a lot with that because it always says game canceled. But
provided they cancel it, but yeah.
Yeah, if they cancel it in there. So if they just verbal agreement, then yeah. So, but that also, talking about podcast movement, one of the things was listen. And so it's the same deal with my family, with my kids, because, you know, it sounds like they're arguing, but they're just playing rough or doing this. And so I go in there expecting to have to spank somebody or put them in timeout, but they're just playing rough or they're just pretending to fight a battle.
Right.
But if I don't stop and listen or ask them, hey, what's happened here, then I completely miss the story.
They might have just saved the world and you didn't know it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just got to ask questions and listen rather than jump to conclusions. Of course, I guess that's the old saying, if you assume, then you know,
right.
make a whatever. Let me see what else. So this summer, I'm going to have to get Jesse over here and we're going to have a podcast about athletic trainer injuries. But
plural.
Yeah. Yes. Because I was playing freeze tag with my kids at church during vacation Bible school, and I jumped backwards and landed with my leg extended, and so I hyperextended my knee. And so here I am, athletic trainer, so I'm trying to coach my wife through doing, you know, ACL, PCL, MCL, LCL tests, and she's like, I don't know what to do. So we're trying, but it's not very easy to tell somebody how to do this on you when you're hurt and you can't show them. And so that was interesting. But luckily, that was a Tuesday, and Wednesday is when I went to the Texas Children's Conference. So I had one of the doctors there. Hey, can you check out my knee? Sure. So athletic trainers getting injured is quite fun. But then at the same time, I got injured, and I knew what happened, but I felt clueless or helpless to fix it.
Right.
And Sarah was like, doctors make the worst patients. Yeah.
Right. But I don't disagree with that because they do make the worst patients. And I think athletic trainers are a strong second to that. but I think one of the things why you feel helpless is there was nobody there to give you information. You couldn't do that test on yourself, you know. And I'll ask you this because I've had 4 shoulder surgeries and the question was asked to me, are you more sympathetic to your kids that are hurt now because you got hurt? And I was asked a question, am I more sympathetic to my kids that have had surgery? And my answer was no. You still got to suck it up and get out of bed and move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't feel good, but if you get up and move, you feel a lot better. And I think, I would say if it was me in that situation, I'd say I'd be not sympathetic that they got, I'm sympathetic that they got hurt. I get that. They need to move forward. But I think the better understanding is I realize I need to make sure they understand what's going on.
Yep. And I think that was it for me too, is just not just saying, all right, this is what we're doing, but, you know, telling, hey, this is what we're doing. This is why we're going to do it. This is our plan moving forward for this week.
Right.
You don't have to give them the whole scope. You know, if you give it to them on a piece of paper,
they're
going to
read it.
Yeah, but then they could check back and they know where we're headed. But, you know, just making sure that they understand the plan and they are bought into the plan is a big deal there. So
Right. And you may have to do that a day or two later for some of that. Hey, this is what you got. Let's process that. And then mm-hmm. we're going to talk about where we go from here, you know, because sometimes that just doesn't, you know, they're not ready to hear all that.
All right. So one of the lessons I learned from podcast movement there was look to add value. And so that's the whole point of the podcast is one, it adds value to me and my program. And then my students here are getting value because they're having medical professionals come in and talk. But my listeners, you guys are the reason that I'm working hard. You know, I'm asking you, hey, what do you want to hear about? Hey, you know, log in so we can engage, so you can chat. You know, I still got Doc, Mickey, and Israel logged in there. And, you know, sometimes it's quite a few more people causing a lot more noise in the chat room asking questions because I want to add value. I want to not waste your time. So it's definitely one of the things I learned there at Podcast Movement was to always look to add value. So if I'm just looking to ramble and fill space, well, then people don't trust me, don't want to download the podcast, don't want to support what I'm doing.
Right.
And so that's...
I don't want to tune in to hear Jeremy ramble.
Yeah, and probably nobody does. And good thing I don't talk very much because know, then you don't have to worry about it. So if I'm rambling, I'm probably hyped up on codeine or something. So I think so. Just two of the other things is just ask. Don't be afraid to ask. You know, with the mass CPR training that we have, that's going to be on March 31st this year. And I asked, hey, can you help out? And Pasadena Health Center said yes. I asked Bubba, hey, can you help out? He said yes. And then he brought in two more people, and they helped out. I asked my friend Justin. He's a fireman. Yeah, he'll help out. I just talked to Dr. Yellen at U of H, and he said, yeah, just tell me, and my kids will be there. So now I might have, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 kids or graduate students here helping out, whereas before I was kind of scrapping together, because I certainly don't want teachers in charge of teaching kids life-saving skills if they have no idea. And so just by asking, I'm at least involving other people, but then I at least have the opportunity for somebody to say yes, just right, as much as they say no. And so if you have an idea, ask somebody. Or, you know, people, probably I think 3 grants I helped submit this year because somebody said, hey, will you take a look at this? Well, obviously I'm have some success with grants. You know, probably over $60,000 has been awarded to me and my programs from grants. And so people just ask, hey, will you help? Sure.
Right.
I could say no, I could say yes, but, you know, just being willing to help out and add value to others. So,
mm-hmm. Has anybody that's on their live, have they added anything? Any comments?
Nope.
Oh, come on, people.
Come on, Doc. Come on, Mickey. Come on, Israel. Bubba's looking to talk to you. Add something in. Christy, I think, is having connection issues. She keeps jumping in and out. But, all right. So, anything else you got? Anything you learned over the summer, Bubba?
I learned a lot over the summer. We don't have time.
All right.
Besides, learning college is really expensive. But, yeah, I always take something, more than one thing away from everything I go to. Now, you know, similar at our sports medicine update, I've presented the last couple of years, but also we have tasks, so I don't get to sit and listen to all of them either.
Mm-hmm.
But you always pick up something out of that. And so it's, you know, I picked up something, some stuff at SWATA. There's always nuggets to be mined out of anything you go to. And again, the conversations outside the conference area are all sometimes just as good, if not better, depending on what you get in there. You know, if you take the time to listen and talk and do that. I'm one of those that I frown upon those that show up, get their certificate, and leave. That's not beneficial to anybody.
So on that note, good thing you mentioned that. So at Podcast Movement, there was 2 things. One, most of the shows that are like 45 minutes are the ones that are really getting listened to a lot. So I'm trying to cut this down to 60 minutes instead of 90 minutes.
Right.
So we'll have to see how I'm doing here. One of my kids stopped the recording. So I don't know what the total time is over here. Does it say anywhere? No. But it's about 12 o'clock. Is that right?
It's 1.
It's 1 o'clock. All right. Again, the first show, a little rusty. But the other thing was, like you just said, the conversations that happen outside. So I'm walking, I put my bag in my car so that I can go to lunch and then I can leave right afterwards instead of having to try and go to the luggage pickup from the hotel. And I'm walking away from my car and I see some guys that I know are at the conference. I say, hey, y'all guys go to lunch yet? They said, nope, come on, let's go. So I just hop in the car with these 3 guys that I don't know, but I know they're at the conference, and we go to lunch. We go to In-N-Out Burger there and we have great conversations and, you know, just hanging out, talking about podcasts, you know, what each of us does as podcasts and some of the things we like. And just because I took a chance and said, hey, what are you doing? And
right.
So then, you know, otherwise I would have been sitting eating by myself. And yeah, just because I asked, but because I made that conversation.
Yeah. And if you're having a conversation with yourself, that's a whole nother talk.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
I'm sure it happens sometimes, but all right. Anything else? No.
I'm good.
All right. So the December code for the sportshealth.com/SMB giveaway is FOOBAG, FOOBAG, FOOBAG. You're tweeting that out there. You better not be tweeting that out, Bubba. It's only for listeners. That's right. He doesn't know how to do Twitter.
Nope.
FOOBAG is the December code because by the time this is released, it should be December. So sportshealth.com/SMB. Every month you can register there to be entered to win a school health gift card. Again, Rachel Blakeman won the first one, and I was interacting with her on Twitter. And also she won a kit from Mueller. So she got a kit from Mueller this month, and she won the school health giveaway. So she's going to be able to buy some new supplies for a new kit she got. So that's pretty cool. So again, FOOBAG, they're really cool bags that keep your athletic training med bag kit, whatever, dry in case of rain, and great to put the AED and other towels in. So check out FOOBAG. Obviously, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Almost every single Wednesday we're live. Next Wednesday we have Matt Babsek talking about functional movement, and then the next one's going to be on a Monday. That's where I'm talking to Dr. Pham. She's an ophthalmologist. She's an eye doctor. So she's an eye doctor I went to when I had a problem, and then She said she used to work right outside of a soccer field, so she dealt with a lot of sports injuries. She said, hey, come do a presentation. Oh, okay, cool. So, you know, eye injury is something I want to know about, so I asked her. Hopefully it'll add value to you, the listener. Almost every single Wednesday, that is. Now, we will have a the episodes this year will be a little bit more scattered because we're trying to make episode number 200 happen in March, which is the NATA month. So to make that happen, I have to space it out a little bit and not have one as often, but we'll still be having regular episodes. Just check back again, join the email list. That's the easiest way to know for sure when there is an episode. Twitter is where you're going to find me most often on social media, PHS Sports Med. So for Jeremy, my sports medicine one kids that left earlier, thanks for putting up with the first episode of the season, even though we have practiced a couple of times to kind of get ready. And then for Bubba there, that's a wrap.